Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What can be the Achilles heel for the Houston Texans in 2024? 713-780-ESPN. Bucky Brooks, NFL.com analyst, good friends with Lance Z, which Lance was throwing some strays at us today, I'm aware of.
Oh, really?
I haven't listened to it yet. I can't wait to listen to it after the show. Anyways, he talks to Bucky Brooks, NFL.com analyst. I didn't realize he was the Jacksonville Jaguars sideline reporter. He mentions that in the article, which is good for him. Like, hey, by the way, I do this on the side, just so you know as you read this article. So that was nice transparency of his. And he does list the Texans as his number one team in the AFC South, so it's not like he says bad things about the Houston Texans. He talks about why Houston could win the AFC South. D'Amico, good team. Biggest offseason addition. He mentioned a trio of accomplished veterans, Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter. But in all of these write-ups, he has potential Achilles heel for the teams. And we'll get to ours here, 713-780-3776, and yours as well. But here's what Bucky had to say. The hype around the Texans could disrupt the chemistry of a rising team attempting to take the next step after a breakthrough season. With a locker room full of big personalities and young stars looking to make their mark as blue-chip players, Ryans must guard against complacency and keep everyone pulling in the same direction. How much validity do you give? And look, I know that Bucky's trying to create things. He probably didn't have a great Achilles heel for the Texans. What is the best? And I get where he's coming from here, because you do have a clash of personalities. And you added Diggs, who's been called a diva. I think it's a bad rap, but he has been called that by others. What kind of validity do you give Bucky Brooks' potential Achilles heel for the Texans?
I don't because of the fact that even when we're talking about a situation like the Diggs situation, I think that what they did was they fortified their locker room as well. We keep talking about D'Amico and his ability to kind of be the leader of men and the coaching staff that he has. But on top of that, every locker room, if you're going to keep, you know, the continuity and keep it where it needs to be culturally, you have to have veterans that help police that as well. You have to have leaders like you even talked about with C.J. Stroud, the way even he was going and you know, dapping up and being positive with the rookies. You have to have guys that are so dialed into and on the same page with your head coach that you can nip those things in the bud before they become any issues. I think adding guys like Autry and Hunter, I think adding guys that are veterans that have been in locker rooms before and know how to handle these situations, and knowing that on top of that, that this team all believes that they have the capability of doing some really good things this year, I don't think the locker room and the players themselves are going to let it happen. I don't think D'Amico's going to let it happen. I think that they have the right people around in terms of policing the culture to where I don't believe that's gonna happen.
To me, it's D'Amico. It's D'Amico for me. Like, D'Amico has changed the really bad culture for the Houston Texans. And I'm not even blaming the players, just like ownership, management, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't have great coaching in the previous 2 years with David Culley and Lovie Smith. D'Amico completely changed the culture from one of the worst in the NFL to one of the best in the NFL. And the young players helped out there, like C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, good like rookies in terms of like where they're at in leadership and doing what is best for the team, et cetera, et cetera. And then the mix of good veterans on top of that. But D'Amico Ryans, I will never blame like culture when it comes to D'Amico. I will forever think that D'Amico Ryans, until I see it, until I'm proven otherwise, that D'Amico Ryans' best attribute is controlling a locker room and bringing up the culture of a locker room. I don't think that they're going to put up with problems. I feel like the problems that they have a way of kind of sneaking, like kind of being sneaky about getting the most out of them. See Steven Nelson a year ago. Oh, Nelson's a problem. How can we make Nelson not a problem? Well, let's give him the money that he wants, and then we'll make him a captain on top of that, like basically giving him, you know, stock in the company, and it brings out the most in them. So I'm not worried about the culture or clashing of personalities, because I think D'Amico Ryans will stay on top of that, and if something becomes an issue, he's going to do something about it, because he's going to protect it, and he feels that it's very important, and I completely agree with him. Secondly, like the players you brought in, I don't really – there's one exception. I don't think there are issues in the locker room. Like Danielle Hunter, like he's the pro's pro. He's what you want. He's going to be playing every snap that he wants to play anyways. You bring in like a D'Nico Autry, who's a veteran, who's like known to be a gamer, hard-nosed player. There's no issues there. Aziz Alshire, he knew D'Amico Ryans when he was in San Francisco, so do we think that's an issue? Absolutely not. Even Joe Mixon, like people talk about how good of a leader Joe Mixon is and how good of a teammate Joe Mixon is. He had stuff off the field, yes, but it's never been internally. It's never been on the inside. The one that you would look at here is Stephon Diggs, and again, I think Stephon Diggs gets a bad rap a lot of times. But look what the Texans did with Stephon Diggs' contract. Like, they've already built in, like, a contract that is in an effort, I think, to get the most out of 1 year of Stephon Diggs. Let's give him a one-year deal. That way he has to earn his future earnings, whether it's with us, I doubt it, or somebody else. So I think that they've already done something to combat any potential problem that could be.
That's your built-in safety valve. That's where you can pull the plug at any time. And you realize that you can get it from being something that can be effective of the entire locker room. That's the way that you do it. So the fact that they were able to restructure in such a way that if you do act up, as much as it's going to be detrimental to you trying to get another contract somewhere else, we're not going to let it be detrimental to us for what we're trying to achieve as a team. And we can pull the plug if we want to.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. What do you think your Achilles heel is?
To me, it's the schedule. Because I think as good as this team can be, we're talking about, and it's not even comparison from last year to this year. It's one thing to say the teams and the records they had a year ago. It's also talking about teams that a year ago had bad records, but now in the case of like the Jets getting Rodgers back and some of the quarterbacks that are going to be in place, you are facing a super impressive schedule of talented teams and a ton of talented quarterbacks that you are going to have to play at your best. And we know that anything can happen in a one-score game, and you might be a really, really talented team with the highest of high expectations, and a couple of those close games don't go your way, and suddenly it can be an Achilles heel to getting where you expect this team to go, not to take anything away from the team itself.
Yeah, you can't argue the schedule. The schedule is more difficult, obviously, than it was a year ago. One of the most difficult schedules in the NFL based on last year's records. I just believe that the Texans are going to be good enough to where they can get past that. I use the Houston Cougar basketball example. The schedule was way more difficult because they were so good, they could handle the schedule. I think the Texans could fall in line with that while also kind of hedging and saying, like, I have the Texans going 10-7. I think they're a really good football team. 10-7 doesn't really have the record of a really good football team, and that's because of the schedule. I would point to the secondary. Like, if Kamari Lassiter doesn't step in and be like NFL average in his first year, Okuda, Henderson, who have kind of been bust-ish in their first few years in the NFL, I think that could be an issue, especially with like Petrie. If he doesn't take the next step, Jimmy Ward's injury prone, Bullock is a third rounder. So I think the secondary could be the Achilles heel. Hope that it's not, but definitely could be. 4-3-2-1, we're going to have to average 21 points a game on average because our secondary is going to give that up more times than not. Yeah, there's another one for the secondary point. Achilles heel is actually secondary and backup running back. I'm with you on secondary. Backup running back, whenever you look at the depth chart, the backup running back spot does not look pleasant. I agree with there. I believe that the Houston Texans' philosophy is we're going to be so good offensively and with our offensive line and with our scheme that we can plug anybody there and be okay.
Yeah, I think that's something that you definitely need to consider is the fact that they've found ways with that offense, no matter who's running it and where it came from, it all came under the Shanahan tree, that you can run that offense. And it just remains to me, for me personally, it remains to be seen of what Pierce is going to be. If Pierce is going to be anything at all that can be effective, then maybe he's your other running back and you're going to be fine. I fully believe Joe Mixon's going to be a really good addition to this team. He's going to have a good year. But if he gets hurt and you can never predict that, then I don't believe in the backups. That's why I think that they're going to go out and find another running back between now and the start of the regular season that can be their more solid veteran number two, instead of waiting for a rookie to see what he can do or waiting for a second-year guy to bounce back and show you that he's capable.
I think that you can predict injury in the aggregate. I don't think that you can with the individual, but like in sports, injuries happen,
sure.
Which I to me, you have to plan for that. Like every running back room in the NFL, let's just say there's four guys, three, let's just go four. Everybody handles the 53 a little bit different, the game day roster a little bit different. Let's just say four guys, every single NFL team, 32 times four, et cetera, et cetera. You have a pretty good idea of the percentage of games that they're going to miss across the league. And maybe even in a running back room. Four guys in your running back room, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. We have an understanding that in NFL averages that every single one of them is probably going to miss a game or two. And that in totality, we're probably talking about 17 games in a year now. You're talking about 20 games missed collectively within that group. I think that you should plan for that. And that's my worry with the running back room. It's like, okay, well, what if Mixon's dinged up for three games? What if Damian Pierce, who like wasn't good last year, is actually good this year, but he's down six games? And then you have a rookie. And that probably adds credence to your point that maybe they're still going to be looking at the running back room because, yeah, that running back room can definitely be an issue. Jawar Jordan beats out Pierce for the third down role. Pierce is not a third down running back. Like, even if Pierce was good, he is not who you want playing on third down.
I don't want him catching the football and expecting that when he does that he's going to, you know, be a dynamic back out of the backfield. I mean, he's a battering ram. He likes contact. He likes to pound the ball between the tackles. That's what he's done his whole career. He has to adjust as it is just to show us that he's capable of being a more effective piece to use in the offense this year. But I don't think he's a pass catcher.
Yeah, I don't like him in that role. I don't like him on the Texans. 8089, thoughts on adding Fournette for the running back room? You should think about it and you should let it go. And I have trouble thinking you even thought about that. Yeah, I don't think the Texans want dinosaurs in their running back room. He didn't play a game last year. Like, well, he was on a practice squad last year.
He also got really big.
Does he get big now?
Yeah, he got really big. And I think this year, from things that I've read, that he's trying to slim down to get one more shot with a team. I don't think it has to be the Texans.
How big did Fournette get? Are we talking 5 net, 6 net? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I get what you did there. I don't know, but I know that it was more like he was leaning towards fullback size than he was spry running back size.
Texans don't need a fullback. They have Ben Skowronek. Kidding. 713-780-ESPN. Which player are you taking in the NBA draft from the Rockets' perspective based on these projections? Plus, the finals look like it might be a snooze fest. And Dan Hurley said no to the Lakers. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you tired of repairing potholes? I know that you are. Of course you're tired of repairing potholes. They're annoying. Maybe it's a pothole in a parking lot. Maybe you need a parking lot. Maybe you need a ranch road or you have a pothole in it, a laydown yard, truck parking. Wherever you need asphalt, I have the solution for you. Wherever potholes can be, we have the solution for you. It's Third Rock Renewables. They're going to fix them for good. Third Rock Renewables' patented technology called mechanical concrete is the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base that turns end-of-life tires into a virtually indestructible building product. Anywhere you can use asphalt, but better, and it's cheaper. Call Third Rock Renewables at 713-305-0507 to find out how mechanical concrete can cut your maintenance cost by 75% or more while also lowering your carbon emissions. Be green while saving green. If you mention ESPN 97.5 when you call or reach out to Third Rock Renewables, you're going to save an additional 20%. So wherever you find asphalt, wherever you don't want to use asphalt, more commonly in potholes, we mentioned all the other areas, parking lot, ranch road, et cetera, anywhere you're using asphalt, get rid of asphalt, use mechanical concrete. 713-305-0507 or visit them online, thirdrockrenewables.com, thirdrockrenewables.com, and fix those annoying potholes for good.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Dan Hurley said no to the Lakers. I think it's a scratch my back, scratch your back type of deal when it comes to the two of them. The Lakers get the perception that, oh, look at us. We try to turn over every stone. We're trying everybody. We're searching all over. We're scouring the globe for our next head coach. And then Dan Hurley, on top of that, he's like, okay, let me get the cachet for recruits. I'm turning down the stinking L.A. Lakers to be the head coach at UConn. You know how much I'm invested here. That looks great for the recruits. Plus, he's going to get a huge, huge contract extension for UConn. Lakers look good in the sense that they're covering the earth looking for their next head coach. Dan Hurley looks good because I turned down the L.A. Lakers, gives him a contract extension. Plus, this was way too public to be real. way too public to be real.
I thought it was a bad fit from the start simply because of the fact that I think Dan Hurley has been more of a dictator in his program, and he kind of gives a lot of tough love to his lot of his players. I just don't see, regardless of who the role players are, I don't think Anthony Davis is going to take very kindly to being, you know, screamed at or yelled at or even told what to do a lot. And I think LeBron is obviously going to put his resume on the table. And we've already talked about how LeBron likes to control the ball and control the roster and control everything with that organization. And then you start hearing, well, the Lakers are not looking for their next coach for LeBron. They're looking for the coach for the long haul. And they're talking about letting Hurley hire his entire staff and every player development guy that he wants and doing all these things to modernize their program. And I don't think that the same way you modernize or you coach a college program translates to modern NBA, the way you set those guys up.
You think Dan Hurley is going to coach the Lakers the same way he coached the Huskies, though?
No, not completely. But I think that over time, I mean, look, the fact is that when he goes in there, he also still has to command the room because the guys that they've had in recent years haven't had command of the room, and then they get dragged and run over by the bus when they say we weren't calling anything on defense, we weren't doing this, we weren't doing that, you know, we had and they all point the finger at him. But if you don't have the respect and command of the locker room, and I think it's tough because they loaded up with veterans, and I think that Dan Hurley would have a tough time getting the. There's going to be a lot of guys in the league. They're going to say, yeah, you did in college, but I don't know you. And I don't know, you know, and if they're going to start screaming at him, grown men that are probably making maybe not as much as money as he was offered, but a lot of the guys in the locker room are making more money than him are going to push back.
Yeah. I don't think that Dan Hurley would go to the NBA and coach LeBron James and Anthony Davis the same way he's coaching Donovan Clidgen and Stephon Castle as freshmen at UConn. I think smart people figure things out. I think that Dan Hurley is a good basketball coach. I mean, Kelvin Sampson was an interim head coach for a little bit. He wasn't coaching in the NBA the same way he was coaching the Houston Cougars.
I'm not saying he's going to coach the same way, but I'm saying like the same way.
I don't think he's going to be barking at them and dictating things that they need to do.
I understand that's what you're saying, but I'm saying too because of the fact that like LeBron is saying he's got all these innovative things on offense, and in order to get those things executed, you got to get these guys to buy in and then do what you say.
Sure.
And a lot of these guys just they go rogue. They do their own thing. They if they don't want to buy in, then you're going to have a tough time no matter how good.
That's every coach, though. That's every coach. That would be J.J. Redick if they hire J.J. Redick. Like, they're going to have to earn the respect too, right?
Yeah, they are. But at what cost? You're saying you're going to sign him for 6 years at $12 million a year, and you're going to roll with him. He's not going to be easily fired. And now, if it takes a while or he's not jiving and clicking with everybody, you know, LeBron's not going to be happy. AD's not going to be happy. And then they're not going to just drop that contract and move on again. And I think the more that veteran-laden roster is built up with guys, you get guys that get attitude that push back, and you're going to have a hard time doing anything that you want to do from that perspective.
I agree, and I think that's for anybody they hire. Like, anybody who walks in as the head coach of the L.A. Lakers is going to have to garner the respect of the L.A. Lakers. That for all first-year head coaches have to do that anywhere they go. It's not unique to only Dan Hurley.
No, I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying, but in this specific situation, just like I think if they hired Redick, I think it'd be a much shorter deal. I don't think that he should garner and warrant the same kind of deal because he hasn't done what Dan Hurley's done. He hasn't done what anybody's done in coaching. And I think that you would also have to treat it more like it should be treated right now, which is the LeBron era and then the long-term era. If you're trying to get a guy that's going to bridge the gap and do both, that's going to be a tough fit.
Yeah. I mean, he said no, so they don't have to worry about it. ESPN put together all their players that are in the NBA draft, like top 14 picks or whatever. They put a player comparison, high-end, low-end, for each of these players. So I'm going to give you the high-end, low-end comp for these players. I'm not going to tell you the player. And then you're going to tell me which guy you rather have based on their player comps, their high-end, low-end comps. So the first one we'll do, a high-end comp of Chris Middleton, low-end comp of Trey Murphy III, or he is high-end Chandler Parsons, low-end Kyle Anderson. So high-end Chandler Parsons, low-end Kyle Anderson, that's one player. Mm-hmm. Or the other player, Chris Middleton, high-end Trey Murphy, the third low-end.
I'll take Chris Middleton and Trey Murphy, the third.
That's the Zahir Risacher guy.
The rumored number two pick in the draft?
From France after Sarr? Yeah. I mean, it depends on the mock you look after. Yeah. But yeah, he's usually the higher end of the wing position. So that one was Risacher. The other player that the high-end, low-end was Matas Bouzoulas. His high end was Chandler Parsons, Kyle Anderson. So you didn't go Bozulis. You went with Risager, or however you say his name.
Yep.
All right, next one. High end comparison, Jaren Jackson Jr. Low end comparison, Nick Claxton. Or high end comparison, Rudy Gobert. Low end comparison, Walker Kessler.
Ooh. I'm going to take the less risky and take the first one with Jaren Jackson Jr. as the high end. And even on the low end, I like Claxton as a guy that can defend and block shots and run the floor.
That one's Alex Saar.
Okay.
The one that you didn't pick, high end Rudy Gobert, low end Walker Kessler, was Donovan Clingan.
I figured it was.
Center from UConn. So you went with Saar there. All right, last one we'll do here. High end potential, Steve Nash. Low end potential, Peyton Pritchard. Or high-end Darius Garland, low-end Bones Highland.
I like, look, and they're not busts per se. Bones Highland is the lowest probably, but he's had spots where he's been good. I like Pritchard, and I like Nash.
Pritchard's pretty good. I mean, obviously you're taking the potential here because of Nash.
If Pritchard played on another team, especially at like a mid-level team,
yeah,
Pritchard would be a good guard in this league.
I like Pritchard. I think he's solid. Like, he's a good guy to have on your bench. Who do you think they were describing? This one blew my mind.
I want to say that the kid from UConn is the Steve Nash comparison.
It's Reed Sheppard.
Is it? Where's the
shooting? Reed Sheppard. I mean, Sheppard can shoot.
Shepard can shoot. That's why. I mean, Nash, I consider Nash more of a true point guard.
He says that Nash is a lofty name, but it reflects the optimism from scouts that he has helped him boost his draft stock, likely top five pick. He says that Kentucky didn't use him as a point guard, but he's capable of playing point guard. He's got a high basketball IQ. Yeah, I mean, obviously the high end I'm taking there. I don't see the comparison to Steve Nash, though.
I see Pritchard as a two in the NBA.
I do, too. Yeah. More of a combo guard. Right. Yeah, I don't really see him as a true point guard. All right, I lied. One more. High-end Andre Iguodala, Golden State version, low-end Justice Winslow, or high-end Bogdan Bogdanovic, or low-end Max Struss.
Wow. I just because of the fact that I know Houston people will hate this, but I don't think Justice Winslow turned out so good.
I
would take Max Struss or Bogdanovic.
That one's Dalton Connect.
Yep.
That's his comparison. And the other one was Castle. So you go Connect
over
Castle. I like
Connect more than you do. But
I don't have a problem with Connect. I don't like him at three. Like, to me, right. If you're drafting Connect, you're trading down to like nine or whatever.
Yeah, I think he's athletic. I think that he has basketball skill. I think he has to be in the right system, too, and used the right way.
I wonder about him defensively with Ime preaching defense. Like that, I have trouble seeing the fit there. I have trouble seeing the connect between Dalton Connect and Ime Udoka because of the defense.
Do you think he can play in an open floor style?
Sure.
That's why I said when system matters. I think you put him in an open floor style with his size and his wingspan and his athleticism, I think he excels. If you have a coach that's going to expect him to play defense and guard threes and fours in this league, I think he might struggle.
Yeah. What do you think of the finals so far? Is this going to be a series at all?
It's been a tough watch, man. I think Dallas is going to come out strong at home, but I kind of saw this coming in the fact that when you have guys that don't get enough credit, I think, from the casual fan as defenders like Holiday and White, they give the Celtics have so many options. I didn't think they needed Porzingis, but then he was just an extra added icing on the cake to say, damn, they even got Porzingis, who's making shots and getting 20 in the first game. I think Boston's so deep, versatile, and so good defensively that Dallas rode a lot of momentum, and I think the momentum's gone.
Yeah.
I don't think Dallas can win
the
series.
The depth is insane that Boston has. Kyrie Irving was talking to Boston like, hey, we're coming back for game five. Like, that's not a flex, man. That means you split in Dallas to come back for a game five. That's not the flex that you think it is, Kyrie.
And if that's going to happen, Kyrie, you might want to step up your game a little bit.
Yeah, I know it. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get to our mailbag Monday. What are your questions for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I know you've been thinking about turf for your yard, whether it's because you're tired of mowing, easier to maintain, it's nicer, it's better for the kids, better for the pets, whatever your reason, maybe to just get your weekends back. I know that you've been thinking about it, and you've been thinking about it, if you have, you need to reach out to Sinlon. Why not? Sinlon will give you a free consultation. You're going to have your answers in a half hour of your time. It's going to take no time for you, and you're going to have all your answers. Free consultation, free estimate, and then you can decide. But at least know your options. Also, the highest quality job with the resources to get it done quickly, that is Sinlon. You can expect the very best, and they're not going to take forever to do it. The greenest turf company, not just in color, but also in theory. Sinlon's products, best in the game, top-of-the-line products. They're made right here in the U.S. of A. Lifetime warranty. They put their money where their mouths are. In-house crews, too, so you don't have to worry about the nightmares, the hassle of a job that's contracted out. We've all been there. We all hate it. You don't have to worry about that with Sinlon. Fully insured, fully bonded, customer service elite. People are fantastic over there in Sinlon controls the process from yarn to yard. They created the industry. They're the sister company to the AstroTurf that was the stuff, you know, in the Astrodome. Sinlon has nearly two decades in the game. Only turf company in Texas that can say that. Again, figure out the cost. Figure out how much you want to accomplish this. Only a half hour of your time, and you're going to have all the answers that you need. So go to 975sinlon.com to learn more. 975-S-Y-E-N, 975sinlon.com. If you've been thinking about it, reach out and get all the information in less than half an hour. Sinlon, artificial grass never looked more natural.
ESPN 97.5.
Call.
It's a Mailbag Monday with a Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-ESPN, Mailbag Monday. Question for the Bees. Aggie Matt, can we trade? Can we get anything for Presley on the trade market?
He's got to lift the no trade first. And then...
Which, I mean, if he hates Jim Crane ruined him. Shouldn't be that difficult.
Well, if he wants to be a closer again, you would think that he would accept it. I think there are teams that would like Ryan Presley. I don't think, I mean, they had talked about the Orioles, but, what's his name? Kimbrel's back. So I mean, yeah, I think there are teams that would be interested in Ryan Presley, but I don't think you're going to get much back for him.
Yeah. Ryan Presley's the kind of guy I'm trading for, not trading away. Like, I do believe he's been a little unlucky. Now, I'm going to crush him because he has been bad. I don't think he's been, like, being unlucky is not the thing that's going wrong with Ryan Presley. There's other things involved, command being the most important thing, velocity, et cetera, et cetera. Has he pitched to a little bit of bad, like, a little bit. I'm tired of hearing about it, but a little bit of bad luck. But because you're going to get nothing for Ryan Presley, why would you trade him? Like, Presley can still be a weapon for you if used correctly, not back-to-back games and no more than 3 days of rest or 3 days of rest or greater. And Schwab put out some of his home road splits. Maybe you don't let him on the road either. But he could still be a weapon for you if used correctly. Now, I don't want him to be the setup guy, but I'm not trading him for peanuts. Like, right. What? So you're trading Ryan Presley, who can be much better, and you're getting nothing in return? Like, he's got a pretty high salary. He's still on the books for next year if he hits his vesting option, which he's on pace to do by a substantial amount. So you're telling me I can get a flyer for Ryan Presley? I'm not doing that, not as long as you're a contender. Now, if you're out of the race in a month and you're 10 games back of Seattle and you're going to be sellers, then you probably should be trying to get as much as you possibly can for Ryan Presley. But I'm not trading him for a bag of peanuts right now. No. Some people are saying to DFA him. Like, I've been the most vocal against Ryan Presley, but it's gone to such extremes that are becoming flat out ridiculous.
He's not Jose Abreu, right? I mean, he has, and especially because everybody's constantly looking and thinking about how do you fortify the bullpen? Are they going to go out and get an arm or two? But he is, when he's right, one of the better pitchers in the back end of a bullpen in baseball, whether he closes or not. And it's not like Abreu where you just pay him to go away because you have to pay him anyway. He has ability. You just hope he finds it.
Wonder when you get Yiner Diaz to play first base. Let's say full time. When would be the time to move Yiner there full time?
I don't think it's going to happen this year. But if the right time to do it would be right after Jose Abreu is DFA'd. If Jose Abreu is DFA'd, then you have every reason to say, well, we need the kind of bat in the lineup that Yiner gives us. And Caratini's been good behind the plate. That's the way we want to go.
Yeah, I was arguing with people earlier today, and they're like, oh, well, you know, who cares that Abreu's playing first base? All your options there are bad, which, okay. Like, there's still such thing as worse bad options. But maybe there's a really good option in Yiner Diaz. Now, I'm with you that they won't do it in the middle of a year. I think it'll be the first full season when Jose Abreu's off the team. So, like, if Jose Abreu's DFA'd on, you know, late June, then I think they transition Yiner Diaz to a first baseman in the offseason, and he makes the move in the offseason. He's practicing there every day, fungos every day. I think that would be the play. So, first full season, going into the first full season when Jose Abreu's no longer on your team, which... he's still under contract through next year. We just don't really see him making it to next year.
Now, I do think he would get spot starts once Abreu goes, even if it's Loprofito or somebody else. I think they'll start.
I don't know. It depends on how well he's hitting.
Yeah, but that's true. It's always a factor, but they did it last year, right? They started to work him in at some games at first base, where I think they could probably get him some major league experience playing first again.
Yeah. I don't hate. I mean, I would love the idea if you DFA Jose Abreu and Yiner Diaz is your full-time first baseman. I think he hits much differently when he's not taking on the rigors of being the catcher, which, by the way, tough hombre, though, to wearing that foul tip off the hand like that, which I don't love the fact that he's not hiding his right hand, but he is a tough guy. Justin, you have to replace one of the big three franchises in Houston with a franchise from another city. Which one goes and which one comes in?
That's a long thought out response. If you think of, like, which one goes? I think the Rockets go.
Okay.
And then who comes in?
Yeah, who comes in?
With their roster and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
I kind of thought about them.
They're loaded with talent. They're loaded with draft picks. They play in a super small armpit-type situation, but they are waiting to just flourish for the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, see, this one... I hate this question because I think part of being a fan is like living through the low times of a franchise. So I hate this question. I wouldn't trade any of the big three Houston teams for anybody. But it'd probably be the Rockets because it's like the Texans are like this up and coming team. They have star power. Maybe the Chiefs because I love Pat Mahomes, but probably not. I'd probably lean Rockets too. Rockets have questions on who their stars are going to be. Like Albie Shengun on the cusp of stardom. Does he ever get there? Jalen Green probably further away from cusp of stardom. Does he ever get there? Whereas with the Thunder, like, okay, SGA, star. Chet Holmgren, maybe, star. Maybe. Like, the Thunder are in a better spot. So just strictly personnel, I would go with the one that you went. I was going to go there too. Keith from L.A., how do you guys feel about this whole shopping cart issue? And do the Hive return their shopping carts?
I do return my shopping cart, but what is the shopping cart issue?
I haven't seen. Maybe that people are getting upset that people aren't returning shopping carts. That would be my guess.
I always, even at non-grocery store shopping cart situations, I return my shopping cart, but I don't return it all the way inside the store. They have those places within the parking lot at HEB where you just make sure you return the cart there. I'm not the guy that's going to just let it roll around in the parking lot and ding off of doors.
No, I return my cart too. I'm a bit like, we live in a society. Everybody should be returning their shopping cart. Dusty and Mont Bellevue. Will the Texans lose the division next year but still have a better season than last considering the strength of schedule?
I still don't think that they're going to lose the division. I mean, to the answer that would be then, who are they losing it to? I think it could be Jacksonville, but I don't think they will. I think that they'll win the division. I think, like you said, I firmly believe that they're going to be hovering around 10 wins. They'll win the division with a 10-7 record because of the schedule, and they could actually do more damage in the playoffs once they get there.
Yeah. I'm going to say no. Like, I mean, the part of the season is the schedule. So I would go no, that it wouldn't be a better season than last if they lose the division. And then going deeper into the playoffs, I just don't see them going deeper than the divisional round, quite frankly. Wheatstraw, my wife wants to know what is so good about y'all that I listen to y'all all the time and just save 97.5 on her favorites in her truck.
What is so good about us?
Yeah, that's what I guess Wheatstraw in a roundabout way is asking for our 30-second elevator pitch.
Oh, to the wife?
Yeah, his wife is asking him what makes us so good that he favorited our station in her truck.
We're a good combination of the things that nobody else wants to say that you need to hear about the realities of your sports existences and otherwise, and we're not pornography or other things that you could be indulging in that could really take you down a very bad path. So instead, let us make sure that Wheatstraw stays between the lines but is entertained while you do your thing and not worry about it.
What an egregious reach. Why did that have to get thrown in there? That is wild that you threw that in there. Okay.
Did you answer it?
Not yet, but that wouldn't have made the list.
Obviously,
of things.
Maybe that's why too, because you're not going to answer it like I did.
No, I have conviction. I have conviction.
I don't.
I tell people what they'll be thinking in a month, even if it disgusts them at the time. That's why your wife needs to know what she needs to know about the killer bees. Like I told Schwab that the Astros needed to replace Ryan Presley with Brian Abreu a month ago, and Greg Rajan, or however you pronounce his name, was subtweeting us, and Schwab was disgusting Michael Scott faces. Michael Scott tweeted over the weekend that Ryan Presley should be demoted. Told you that a month ago, my guy.
Schwab did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He did. 713-780-ESPN, King of Twitch. Killer Bee's question, was DJ or the 97.5 host right when it comes to CJ being a top three quarterback?
This year,
he
coming
said,
up?
He said top five. He corrected it to top five.
Oh, top five.
I guess DJ said he was not a top five quarterback?
He might have been with Paul. I don't think we covered that on Friday.
Yeah, so DJ, I guess DJ did said that CJ is not a top five quarterback. So is he right, or are all the ESPN 97.5 hosts right that say he is a top five quarterback?
I think he's a top five quarterback this year.
I'm with you.
I think Josh Allen probably comes down a couple of notches. I mean, we've gone over the guys that are in the running for it. I'm not sure what Lamar is going to do, but I have a hard time not believing that C.J. Stroud is going to get better, and he had one hell of a first year in this league.
3-3-1-1. I think he's top five quarterback. 3-3-1-1. Blankers, if you could punch anyone like Kermit Washington got Rudy T, who would it be?
Probably
Branham.
It might be, but I don't believe in doing that kind of thing anymore. I don't want to punch anybody that hard. No one gets under my skin to that level.
Yeah. Maybe Jose Abreu. Maybe Ryan Presley after the eighth inning yesterday.
There's got to be someone.
No, I wouldn't physically violent them.
It would have to be someone that does something like morally disgusting.
I think it'd be somebody that would threaten my family, quite frankly. 6860, best potato chip, not Sun Chips. We'll say that.
We already know.
Yeah, we've talked about this to great detail. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It's 6-10 day. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but it's 6-10 day. June 10th, 6-10 day. What are your least favorite things about 6-10? The interstate, obviously. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Today is 6-10 day, Blankers. I saw people tweeting about 6-10 day. They had former drivers on the highway.
Yeah,
today.
I got a lot of text messages about that I was like,
did you?
At first I'm like, wait, what?
And yeah, then I saw some tweets.
I think that someone had tipped me off that day was coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it until today. So it begs the question, since today is 6-10 day, what are your least favorite things about 6-10? 6-10. Like, I think we're talking about the interstate here. I think we're talking about the interstate here. 713-780-ESPN. What are your least favorite things about 6-10? The interstate. A few people are saying they would punch Mike Fiers like Kermit Washington did Rudy T. Fiers was out the Big League Dream. Somebody took a picture of him with a rat.
So he did
trap.
Show up, huh?
Somebody had a picture of him with a rat trap circulating on the internet.
That he held?
So there was a fan that took a picture with Mike Fiers, and the fan was holding the rat trap. And like he had like a good sense of humor about it. We should get him on the air. That'd be fun.
If he do it. I mean, this seems like, what is it? Like the guys that go and do the selfie where you got to pay for everything just to have one last gasp after you just have to admit that you're just struggling for cash and you have to own it.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Manziel that would do all the...
So I've had a Mike Fiers theory forever. I feel like Mike Fiers was so dumb that he kind of didn't realize what he was doing. Like, he didn't realize the gravity of what he was saying when he was saying it. And then the writers, because he was so dumb, not necessarily took advantage of him, but, like, took it and ran. And Fiers didn't realize it was going to, like, ignite. Because, I mean, Fiers also knew this was going on around baseball. Like, Fiers, like, okay, every team is doing this. Oh, yeah, the Astros were doing this. And then all of a sudden, you know, Rosenthal and Drelich or whatever, like, boom, we got our guy. We're going to go and run. To me, it felt like the Brendan Dassey on Making a Murderer, where like the investigators were like, you know, pressuring him into saying something. And because he thought it was such a common thing in baseball that he didn't really feel all that, you know, like he was really, you know, throwing him under the bus. And then all because he was so dumb. And then he does it. It takes off like wildfire. And he's like, what did I do?
It was a firestorm.
Yeah,
it took off like a firestorm because of the fact that whether he was so dumb or not, if you don't know the ramifications and you don't think that through, then you deserve every bit that you of hate and angst and everything that you're catching in the process. Because, like you said, I mean, everybody in baseball, we knew that David Ortiz and the guys in the studio were talking about it during the playoff run. And they knew. And it was circulating around all of baseball. To not understand that if you were the guy that was dumb enough to just throw it out there and just own it and say it, you know it, that's pretty damn stupid.
Yeah, maybe King of Twitch is saying trash that. He knew exactly what he was doing. Maybe so. Maybe so. Just an alternate reality I wanted to throw out there and take the temperature on it. All right, 6'10 day. What is wrong? What is your least favorite? Because everybody's like, oh, yeah, 6'10. What is your least favorite thing about 6'10? The interstate, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. King of Twitch says 6'10 buys listeners with franchise money. That can't be the highway. Virginia Buntweed says 6'10 didn't hire Dell. Jerks. Was he going to work on the highway?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
Did he interview there?
6'10. King says 6'10 clips PCs.
Nuggets.
You can go on with that. I didn't realize that, okay, that's not the highway. Sports says I'd go into everything I hate about 6'10, but we'd just be going round and round. That's actually pretty good.
That is good.
You get it?
Because
it's a loop that goes round and round. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Few texts on this. Keith says the Aggie that is on the midday show? That's not the highway. He's not talking about the interstate, Keith is.
No, he's not.
I don't
not.
Feel like.
No, he's not.
Which one of them is an Aggie?
Your guy.
I didn't know that. 1592, 610 loop is always a mess, but I guess that's how all 610 are?
Like that. Well played. Well played.
That's interesting. What do I hate about 610? It's a continuous loop of morons. Y'all can decide if I'm talking about drivers or hosts.
Well played.
He misspelled morons, though.
Oh,
he
said, that's not a good look.
That's always
when you're
the word.
Talking about morons, and you're the moron who can't spell.
He spelled it. Good. He spelled it mornons. So it's like, I mean, I know what he was trying to say. That's why. But it's fun to, you know, that's something you always do. Like whenever you're text messaging, like your friends or your group chat, and like you have this great burn, and you give the great burn, and then you realize you misspelled something,
or
and it's like, well, now you're the idiot.
Yeah.
Now you're the idiot that screwed it all up. 0452, I hate 610 radio. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about the interstate. Do you have anything that you dislike about the interstate, 610 day?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's constantly just going in the same loop around and around about the same thing every day, which is high traffic, but not a whole lot of direction.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's
pretty
good.
Just off the cuff, but yeah.
It's well done. 8787 says 10 minutes after y'all are off air. I wonder if he maybe turns
that's
it over and listens to Texans Radio after
Texans
we go
radio,
off.
Texans Radio, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'd rather you listen to Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters, but we understand that you have choices. 0452, what does 610 Highway and 610 Radio have in common? No one wants to ride either.
Huh.
I'm on 610 every day driving. I have to use 610. I have to use 610 to get to the Galleria. 45 to 610, or I go Hardy to 610. Depends on the day. Depends on how late I am.
Do you avoid Galleria and get off on side streets?
I usually go past the Galleria and exit Hidalgo.
Oh,
I usually go past Westheimer, a little further south. It depends, though. It depends. Like I'm a prisoner to Waze. Whatever Waze is telling me to do that.
The other way is coming from your direction. You get off on that first Memorial Park exit.
Thank you, Blankers.
Well, I mean, I'm not telling them where you live or anything like that, but coming
from
that
direction. No, I just appreciate you. Appreciate you letting me know. Like, I didn't know that was an option.
I'm explaining for the listeners, too, if you're coming from that direction, coming from the north, that you get off right as you get on the 610, you get off on that first exit and take, what is it, Post Oak Road?
Yeah.
That normally is the start of where you can get around that log jam in the Galleria.
This texture says 610 is not an interstate. 610 Interstate, Google. Interstate 610 Texas is an auxiliary interstate highway that forms blah, 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 blah. A City of Houston Loop 610 facts. Interstate 610. AA Roads, Interstate 610. Cron, here's why Houston's Interstate 610 is called 610. Transtar, IH 610. So you just landed on the list. You just landed on the list, 6860. 610 is not an interstate. Why don't you use the Google machine? It'll show you that it is an interstate. 610 is so dumb. It's an interstate that is a loop around Houston, contradicting text back and forth. Much like the people that live under 610. It must be talking about our Twitchers. 610 puts a roof over people's heads. Ooh, that would otherwise be homeless. That is a shot. Man.
Wow.
And that's going to be on Mean Text on Friday. Eric, I hate that Branham keeps saying interstate when talking about 610. It's not an interstate. Yes, it is, Eric.
Eric,
you just made the list. Yeah, he is a driver.
I was going to say, if it's Eric the driver, that makes it even worse.
Unreal. 610 interstate sounds like 610 radio going in circles. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see what else we got here. Which makes me shake my head more, 610 drivers or 610 hosts, specifically Landry Lonker. Well, I can say his name out loud now because he's no longer a host there.
Still questions abound, but yes.
Yeah. What I hate the most about 610 is I've made it around it several times and still have not seen Big Ben or Parliament. They might talk about Big Ben, though, every now and then. All interstates suck. It's an interstate because it connects you to other interstates. Oh.
There you go.
Oh.
Makes sense.
It does.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, 59.
45.
69, they call it now for some reason.
That whole thing, too, is annoying.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I grew up in Humble, so we lived off 59.
Right.
And then, like, I don't know, what was that, like 10 years ago? Hey,
less than that.
It's I-69. What? How?
But then it changes at a certain point? Like, it's 59 at a certain point, 269 at a different point?
It's so, I don't know.
I don't have the logic behind it either.
That's one I do not know. Like, I do know that 610 is an interstate. I have no idea why 59 to 69, blah, 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 blah. Key from L.A., Papado's off the 610 across the street from NRG. Papado's is good. I like Papado's. I'd rather
like
play
Papacitos too.
All the Papas are very, very good. All
are
right,
are you Papa Burger guy?
I like it. Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it's very good.
No, I've had it a time or two. There's others that I would choose, but it's good.
Truck driver here. 610 is interstate. As a truck driver, I'm not allowed to go over it with overweight loads, even with the permits. There you go. I mean, 610 is interstate. I researched this morning to make sure I was saying it right.
They needed more validation. If you just heard that from a trucker and the reasons why, believe it.
It's an auxiliary interstate highway. It's an interstate. Like, I think even whenever you see the picture, it has the interstate logo.
Yep,
yeah.
It does.
Come on now. I know my interstates.
Sure.
And highways and other stations. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It is 610 day. What are your least favorite things about 610? We can keep that going. Also, Steven Nelson is retiring. Like, who cares? But who are players that have retired too early that you wish didn't call it quits when they did? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about the greatness that is Pro Dunk Hoops. They're the very, very best. Look, it's the season, right? You got the championship being played right now. The kids are at home. You don't want them inside all day. And you probably don't want them in when the sun goes down. Get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. Occupy their time. Do something athletic whenever they are being occupied with their time. Maybe you like to shoot some hoops. Maybe you like to dunk some hoops too. Pro Dunk makes the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware, and it's height adjustable. Lower it down to 5 feet, raise it all the way to 10 feet, and with their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. It's their lightning adjust feature, and it's awesome. You can raise it 10 feet, lower it down to 5 feet, anything in between in a matter of seconds. It's easy to do. It's fun to do. Thor is great. Their accessories are next level, too. LED light kits for night play. Mention, throw the kids out when the sun goes down. You can do that with these LED light kits. They can continue to shoot some hoops while the sun does go down because you have the LED light kits. Backstop nets. Don't chase the basketball around. Waste time. Pull pad lettering. Lots more. And you can order everything, including professional installation online. You tell people you're good with a ladder. You tell people you're good with a level. We know the truth. You're not. You don't want anything to do with installing this goal. So let the pros from Pro Dunk do all of the installation for you. Perfect height, perfectly straight, idiot proof for you. You can't screw it up. Let the pros do it. Let them do all the work for you. Give them a call now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN.
97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.